Welcome back to another exciting episode of Extra Features Podcast. Today, people, I'm going to tell you, being a judge sometimes pays off. I get wonderful shorts. I have Ellen Onsui here. Her film Severio is excellent. Please watch it when it gets off the circuit, but she'll tell you how to find it. Welcome.
Oh, thank you, Simon. Thanks so much for having me. Appreciate it.
So I'm trying to decide how to start this. So I'm going to start at the end and go back. I'm not going to ruin anything, right, if I start at the end? Okay. The short has a little message at the end. I'm not going to say what it is, so that will be easier. Did that come first, or did the convenience store and the story come after?
So that's a great question. I grappled with whether or not I should even have that message at the end. It's a fact for people listening. And I ultimately did it because it contextualizes what's happened, which in many ways is very abstract and mysterious. So it helps the audience kind of land at the end. But you know, the whole thing was inspired by a true event. I witnessed an old man who was abandoned at a convenience store, a supermarket, actually. And we were told, the people who were around were told, you know, it's fine, social services will come. And so I did some research about that, and I learned about a term called granny dumping, which horrified me and upset me. And I immediately wrote a short film, you know, what if somebody was just driving and some, you know. And then I never did anything with it for, you know, other projects, you know, took over. But then there was like a convergence of other life experiences that made me go, you know what? This film that I wrote a while, I got to redo it. And those experiences were, we were caregiving for my dad. And, you know, my sisters and I have had help in his resources. He, you know, had some savings for his, you know, elder care. And we were still finding it very challenging to navigate. And also, my kids didn't really want to be around their grandparents very much, which we understood because it's uncomfortable when people are either ill or have dementia or actively dying. It's hard for adults. So I wanted to put a younger person in that situation. Yeah.
So hang on. I'm going to ask, since you've taught your kids, are your kids at the same age as the person driving the vehicle?
Well, yeah, pretty much. The idea is like mid-20s. My kids are in their mid-20s.
We have, okay.
Yeah. I have two stepdaughters and my daughter who's, yeah. And my lead character is Asian. She happens to be Korean because even though I'm white, my partner is Asian and my children, my daughter is Chinese. And so I'm surrounded by, you know, predominantly Asian family. So that's how I see the world sometimes.
Okay, let's start with the convenience store then. I mean, where did you shoot this? Maybe that'll be easier for me so I know where we are.
I shot it in the Bay Area, San Francisco.
Okay. So did you know the convenience store owner? Did you have to go rent it? How did that work out?
Yeah, we gave them a little fee and they were wonderful. It's a cool place. It looks like a, you know, regular convenience store, except it's not. If you look carefully, first of all, the name of the store is called 50s. It's not like 7-Eleven.
Yeah, it's got a weird name. I'll agree with that.
And maybe a sort of generic looking convenience store sign, but then when you go inside, sort of everything looks the same there too, like the Oreos or the gummy bears, whatever. They're not, everything's imported from other countries, so it's you can't see that really in the film.
No.
And I shouldn't say everything, but they have tons of beverages and candies and, you know, just all different packaged foods and groceries that are from other countries. And that's what makes it so cool, that place. And it just so happened that they were excited about participating in the shoot.
So did you shoot? It looks like I would say maybe a day at the convenience store.
Oh, yes, the entire day. And it was brutal.
So what was so bad about shooting the convenience store? Just a lot of work or just getting everybody in shot, deciding what shot you were going to use, camera setups? Walk me through that.
Okay, there are three things that made it very challenging. First, the store had to basically remain open for business. So we had the first 2 hours before they opened, between 6 a.m. and 8 a.m., to shoot. Very little time, really, to do anything. So then we had people coming in and out, and we had to hold and let people go in and out. The second thing is it was out, it's outside and there's blacktop. And even though the Bay Area is supposed to be sort of cooler, it was a boiling, blistering, horrible day. It's like 90 degrees with the black pavement, bouncing back at us. And the last thing was there's a lot of reflection off the glass, and we're shooting at the car, right? So the car's parked and we're shooting facing the car. The car is backed into a spot, and we've got that glass bouncing back at us. So we had a lot of challenges.
Okay, because when you're inside the store, you're shooting pretty much behind the counter for most of it. And then you come
Yes.
out and she sees something in her car, and then you go from there.
We can give it a little bit away. I mean, the story
Okay.
is about a young woman who's, ambitious on her way to a big networking party. She makes a quick stop at a convenience store. And when she gets back in her car, an old man has been abandoned in the front seat. So now she's to grapple with, dealing with him and getting to her party that she's already late to.
Yeah, I would want to go to the car for a second. She opens the glove compartment at one point.
Great.
There's a lot of stuff in this glove compartment.
So I wanted you to see how disorganized she is and how
Oh, I
fat.
got that from the phone calls.
She's hurt, always in a hurry. And she's just not paying attention to detail. So this incident is forcing her to stop and think about things. But she doesn't right away. She's still blurring through everything. It takes, the whole film for her to like stop. And pay attention.
But we don't, I mean, I guess we can go there now. She gets that development, I say, by the end of the film. But it takes her a while. Like, I don't think she's even there halfway through the short. She's sort of figured out what she needs to do.
When she's the incident in the bathroom shakes her up, right? When
Exactly is where I was going.
yes, so she has a moment in a public restroom with him. And a couple of things that happen there shake her up. Some of a decision she almost makes, the way in which she's treated. And then when she's back in the car, getting ready to take him to the next place, he gestures to her something. And that begins to resonate, I guess is the word. So that starts to slow her down.
Did you
And
manipulate cell phone rings? Try a different ring? Because, I mean, it's very prevalent, that phone. It rings a lot.
yeah, I wanted the phone. I mean, the phones are such a huge part of not only our, I mean, everybody's lives, but especially young people, right? I mean, we just they never had a life without their phone, really, that they can remember. So it's constant. So I wanted the phone to be constant for her. And then at the end, that phone actually becomes a tool for the a much better communication.
Oh, 100%. You do music in the car, and it's only very brief.
Yes, we have a couple of songs in the car, two different songs.
So, whose are they, and where did you, why did you choose them?
There's a couple, so actually there might be three in the car now that I think about it.
Like, there's
They
two I can remember for sure, but maybe three, and I just. There were not a lot of lyrics to really help me walk through this, and we only have 13 minutes, so I know you can't get into the songs during the chart.
I didn't want to pay a lot of royalties. I did pay some royalties, but I chose music that aligned with a feeling that I wanted, and I had other songs in mind, expensive songs that I could reference to my music supervisor, and she searched high and low through, not royalty free, but low royalty soundtracks. So that's how we chose those. And it had to do with the energy of the song, a combination of making exacerbating perhaps the situation and adding humor. And the song at the party, there's some music at the party. That's actually my partner's nephew, Cjoy. He's a really big DJ here in LA. And he's got a bunch of original songs. I actually paid him royalties for that song that he co-wrote with another artist. And yeah, so that's how we got the music.
Okay, the car's driving down the road. We've left, you know where I'm going. This is the next location almost. I found the car was moving slowly. Are you pulling the car or you're actually, I mean, you're, I couldn't, it was moving so slow to me. So I'm wondering if you made them drive slow or you're pulling the car.
Yeah, very observant, Simon. Maybe too observant.
Sorry.
Yeah, it's okay. There is a scene with the two of them, and we're in the back seat shooting. We were on a college campus for that because it was a
Okay.
close, safe area. I mean, my producer was really adamant that we were extra safe, and we just had to abide by that. We had to respect that, and so we had to go slowly, even though we were closed off. The road itself wasn't that long, and going too fast would have made the camera shake too much because we were in the
Okay.
back. We didn't have a rig.
Sure, that's what I was asking. I'm like, I'm going, why is this going? You do have signs in your film. I mean, I could bring them up. Today is a good day. Perk up coffee. Like, you focus on these signs. And I know there's a third one I should have written down, but I forgot.
The third one is "Come on in, we're awesome."
Thank you. That's it. It's on the door. So, is this for the viewer to make a decision, or is this for the main character to think about?
I think it's both. I think it's the irony for the audience because the audience knows it's not a great day, and it's also she. It's not something she's looking at or paying attention to, but if she were, maybe she could kind of like put things in perspective.
Okay, did the drink and the fries really come from Country Waffles?
Yes, they did. They were. They kept a steady flow of those for us. They were an amazing place to shoot. The owners couldn't have been more supportive, and also wanted to get behind this film because sadly they've had situations where old people, seniors, have been left, and they've had to like figure out how to deal with it. You'd be surprised. I mean, people getting they actually covered it in an episode of The Pitt, which is a new show on Max. Noah Wiley stars in it. It's like an ER version where, in the hospital, some woman leaves her mother in the hospital, and they think it's a situation of abandonment.
So, how did you get the Country Waffles location? Because I've never heard of a Country Waffles. Is it a family-run business?
It is, yeah.
Okay.
Just going to different, we had two or three people maybe that said yes. And we had to consider the parking. We had to consider the time of day, and they were closing at 1. They close every day at 1. They're open from like 5 a.m. or 6 a.m. and they close at 1. So that gave us the whole rest of the afternoon and evening to shoot. And also they were just most enthusiastic about supporting the project
But
because it
I would say when you she walks into that place, it looks busy.
yeah, we had people extras to do.
Okay. I don't know. You could have been shooting why they were open too. I had to ask. Cause...
We did not, no, we had to stage all those extras and feed them too.
Okay. I find after this, you give your main character, I wrote down two sides. So basically, I'm saying a change in mood, a change in attitude. And I find it happens right after the bathroom scene. So is that the big. Not really, almost climax, or maybe the MacGuffin for a character. Is that what you introduce it at?
Like,
She has the altercation in the bathroom, and then she seems to instantly change.
I think, let me just think about this. She has the car, the altercation. She's frustrated with her boyfriend who is not helping her out. And she's given her that moment that kind of stops her in her tracks. And he's very, I don't know if you noticed the moment with the music, they have this tussle with the music volume, and she finally gives up and is like, fine, you win. And the music's really loud
Yes.
and blasting. And in that, she kind of finds him, and he smiles and he starts bopping to the music. So she kind of finds the delight in him for a minute. And that's enough to let her kind of engage and connect in a different way. And then when she's presented with her friends when she finally gets the party, and there's, you know, she sees how much they treat him as kind of an object there in that moment. She gets very protective. So,
Yes.
and that helps seal the deal.
Okay. I just want to go in the future for a couple seconds. I don't see a future for these two couple. This couple should be done after this movie. I really felt that.
Yes. And I'm working on the feature now,
Oh,
and
okay, good. So you can get into that for me.
it's a very different story. I mean, we use the same premise, but it's really a mother-daughter story. I mean, we see the relationship with her mother, even though we never meet her mother. It's just kind of
Right.
this really explores her relationship with her mother, and finding him, that relationship with Severio, the old abandoned man, is the way into healing the relationship with her mother. And so it's, again, you're very astute, I have to say. You're picking on something between her and her boyfriend in the film. And for that reason, in the feature, I decided to make him her an agent that she's seeking to
That
get.
would work perfectly for me. I would understand the relationship a little bit better, I would say, and understand why she's putting up with him.
Yes. So that's how what he's become. And I introduce a different romantic potential with her as she's going down the rabbit hole of trying to find which nursing home he's been sent to and how to get access and help him.
Okay. This may be a question I'm going to throw to right field for you, but I'm going to have to ask. I find the main character has a look for two-thirds of the film. Her makeup's done a certain way in that, but I find in the last scene she looks different to me. Did you change her makeup in the last scene as opposed to earlier in the film?
Well, I think a tiny bit, but really, I think it's the actress, the amazing Quincy Cho's performance that you're
Okay.
really seeing. It's also the lighting. We're dealing with a darker situation. You know, everything
Yes.
brightly lit, and we're seeing a much warmer. I mean, I wanted to take her from cool. You notice her hair is very purple.
Yes.
So cool tones and everything to much warmer. I was doing two things. You know, it starts off, she's a very cold character and kind of we warm up to her and she warms up at the end. But outside, it's extremely hot at the beginning and gets very cool at the end. You know, we have to put on a sweater and all of that.
Yes.
So I'm doing this big crisscross. So I'm using production design, lighting, and some costume to help create that sort of crisscross.
Okay, the last location, the house with the pool, whose is that?
Yeah. So that is a friend. I adopted my daughter from China. I traveled there with many other couples. One such couple happens to live in Silicon Valley, and they have a magnificent house in the hills. And she said, "Sure, you could use my house. I won't be there, but you could use it." And I was like,
Perfect.
even better. So that worked out really well.
You do have a visual effects credit listed. What
Yes.
did I miss?
Oh, you know, visual effects, it's a great question. It's not, and I learned this myself, it's not just like fire, explosions, etc.
No, I thought it might be a color correction or something I was missing, maybe some color added.
It's not even color correction, then we have a colorist for that. It is, for example, when she does the lottery ticket at the convenience store, it's
Yes.
California Lottery winner $100. That
Yes.
was added on. So it was a black screen.
Okay.
You know, things like that. There were moments where we had to erase some things out of the picture, things like that. Nothing
Fair
major,
enough.
but it was the thing that you would really notice, but we did, and I would
No, of
say,
course you would. I would notice. That's what I was asking. Like visual effects. Like, what would I miss? Just lost
yes.
my shit. So, I gotta ask you, it's fun question time.
Okay.
Your favorite film, because your first time on the show?
Well, I saw a film this year at Sundance, and it's just starting to go out now in theaters called Sorry Baby.
Yeah,
And
it's just getting released this week here, I think, or last week.
it's fabulous, and in I encourage everyone to go see it. She's like my new idol. I'm obsessed with her and her voice, and the fact that she not only wrote and directed, she also stars in it. And it's such an authentic, fresh take. She does the thing that I love most, which is, combine humor with, heartbreak
Cool.
and real gut punch. And it's just a story you've never really seen or heard before,
Cool.
certainly not in this way. So go see it.
Okay, your favorite actor.
Well, that's another good question. There's so many.
I know, I like asking it.
Gosh, I don't know. I mean, it's too easy to say Meryl Streep, but I followed her for so long.
Think we all have.
I don't know. I'll just have to stick with oh, I know, Phoebe Waller-Bridge. I love her
Oh,
from
so do I.
I think she's just could do everything.
Okay, last question. One film you recommend to people?
I just recommended Sorry
I
Baby.
know. I guess I got screwed myself up, but oh well.
There's one more that I'm going to all these film festivals now, so I try to see films when I'm there, not just shorts, but features. There's a wonderful one from Ireland called Four Mothers.
Okay.
It's hilarious and also very moving. So,
Before I let you go, where can people find your work?
well, you can go to the website for SeverioTheFilm.com. And I mean, my work is right now, it's this short film that's going out. I'm also doing my own podcast that's about to launch in the fall, called Filthy MILFs. I'm doing that with a funny friend and about women of a certain age. So yeah, on the film festival circuit, I'm going all around the country and the world. So keep an eye, and then soon we'll be streaming. And you'll see Severio the feature one day soon as well.
Great. Thank you. Have a great night.
Thanks, Simon. You too.